Bible presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with Philip Schaus, who has a solo EP out and is currently a member of the band Accept. He also is a part of the Rock and Roll Residency and has been a part of both Gene Simmons and Ace Frehley solo bands. In our conversation, Philip tells us about his upcoming tour of Sweden for his solo album and the band he's using, and he discusses living in Nashville and the ease of traveling the world with Nashville being the hub. Philip talks about working with the band Accept since 2017 and officially joining in 2019, and how their tour cycle works and the logistics of playing Europe, the US, and South America. Philip tells us about his EP, which was basically a 50th birthday present to himself, and he tells us about the production and personnel on the album. Philip describes his world of being a touring musician as opposed to the session musician scene in Nashville. Philip talks about his project, the Rock and Roll Residency, which had many special guests, like Robin Zander, Alice Cooper, Billy Gibbons, and Lizzie Hale, to name a few. Philip takes us through his musical education, and he tells us about his gear, including a guitar, which is very special to him. Philip describes how he ended up playing with Gene Simmons and how that led to him playing with Ace Frehley. To find out more about Philip, you can find him on the socials at It's Philip Schaus, which is spelled ITSPHILIPSHOUSE, or his links at Linktree/Philip Schaus. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine in all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Oh, by the way, I have a Patreon at Patreon/HaveGuitarWillTravelPodcast. Here's my buddy Philip.
How are you, Philip?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing good. I liked your frame there before you appeared.
Oh, Isaac.
Yes, exactly. That was great. How's life treating you?
Man, great. Things are good. Heading to Sweden on Thursday. And so, yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Right on. And you live in Nashville?
Yeah, I live in Nashville.
What's it like for you to get to Sweden from Nashville?
It's only one stop now. We can go to Nashville, London, Stockholm.
Wow, right on.
So it's easy, you know, I prefer the one-stop flights. The direct will be amazing.
Sure.
We're getting more direct flights in town, but not the Stockholm one yet, but yeah. That would be great.
That's fantastic. How long have you been playing with Accept?
With Accept since kind of 2017, but I wasn't officially in the group until 19.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I started working with Wolf in 2017.
Okay. So how do they even become aware of you, you being from, you know, Nashville?
They're Nashville.
Oh, are they really?
Yes. even the Germans are in Nashville now.
Oh.
Wolf has actually lived here for, well over 30 years.
Wow.
Like, he's lived here since the early 90s.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so he's been based here forever. And then some more of the guys moved down. Peter Baltus, who's no longer with the group, the original bass player, He moved down, and I got to know Peter before, and then kind of just was in that group, and sure. One thing led to another, and yeah.
Were you aware of Accept before you?
Absolutely. We were doing one of the first kind of cover shows that I did in Nashville was back in 2010.
Okay.
And it was a heavy metal one, and people were not doing those back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Now everybody fucking is on Broadway playing fucking metal songs. That didn't happen back then.
Yeah.
And so we did a lot of the heavy metal that I like the late 70s, early 80s, that kind of era. Priest, you know, Saxon, and Accept was in there. So we were doing Accept tunes.
Right on.
Back then, and yeah, man, they were on my radar, and Headbangers Ball, that whole thing is in the two white flying V's.
Yeah.
In sync, moving back and forth, is just ingrained in my brain.
Yeah. Are you doing that?
Absolutely.
Oh, right on.
But it has to be.
Sure, of course.
Like, there's certain things that have to stay, and it's like Wolf always, we would, when I first got in the group, I was so into the choreography aspect of it.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You know, because we had done Kiss cover stuff, and so I do, could, you know, move around. And he would laugh at how, like, kind of quickly I took to it. He was like, "Oh, you're as big of a poser as I." It's like, way more mirror time than actually practicing guitar.
That's great.
Yeah, certain things have to stay. Like, no, man, we're, you know, I'm doing that.
Yeah. Before we get to like your record and all that, like, so do you guys have gear in Europe waiting for you?
Yes. So we, when we, there's just stuff here that lives here, and there's gear in Europe that lives. So we, when we do, like the US to Europe trip, it's minimal stuff that we have to bring. We have to bring some things, but it's not like when we go to South America, we got to bring everything.
Oh, wow.
So that's a lot more, but the Europe trips are pretty easier. The flights are.
What is the percentage of Europe tours compared to America, compared to Southern?
Europe main, we hit Europe, well, we're hitting Europe. Well, I don't know if I can say, I don't know if anything's been announced, but we're doing Europe. We're doing the summer.
Yeah.
We normally hit Europe a couple times a year.
Okay.
If it's not like an album writing year.
Okay.
We normally do, you know, some summer stuff.
Yeah.
And then normally hit it again.
Yeah.
We did a few European things last summer and then only a U.S. tour last fall.
Okay.
So we just did Europe once.
Okay.
You know, we only did a handful last year. So.
Yeah. And Europe, is it mostly festivals? Are you doing club dates or?
It depends on the time of year. If it's summertime, it's festivals.
Yeah.
And if we go there, you know, before or after, like in the winter or fall, it's inside.
Okay. All right. And I'm just assuming that everybody in Europe knows all the songs and sings along and the whole thing.
It's a whole different thing than playing here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot. When you have, like, you know, when you do the big festivals, there's, you know, 6,000 people there, and they're and the choruses for a lot of the choruses for Accept songs are good because it's just like, oh, you know, a lot of good sing-along parts. So, you know, even if you don't speak English, you can sing along to the songs.
That's cool.
Yeah, those are a lot of fun.
Yeah. So your album.
Yeah.
Why now?
It was kind of a 50th birthday present to myself.
Oh, right on.
Last year.
You're a kid.
Because I'd never done one. I like that 50 years old is still a kid now these days. I love that. Because it wasn't when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I spent my whole music career playing for other people.
Yep.
And playing covers.
Yep.
I may be playing the songs with the person that wrote them.
Yeah.
Or that sang them, but to me, they're still covers. And because of that, I really didn't know what I sounded like. Because I'm a really good mimic and I can play in the style of a lot of stuff. It's like, you know, that's how I treat my, for hire gigs that I do. And it's just part of, you know, it's just part of respect of what came before me. And it's not like, I'm here, I'm going to do it my way. It's like, no, the fans want to hear it like it is, you know? So I never really knew what I sounded like. And I wanted to know. And I got together with a friend of mine, Alex Ray Hall in Nashville, a great writer. And he had always said, whenever you're ready to do something, let me know. So I let him know. We banged out several tunes.
Right on.
And then I had one name on my producer list was Brad Jones. And luckily he was the guy that wanted to, he was down with doing the project. So
yeah. Why Brad Jones?
Here it is. I've always liked his stuff. I liked his things. His production on a group called the Shazam.
Okay.
And it was in Nashville, and those records sounded really cool. And there was a couple things that I heard, like with a couple projects I heard before he got involved, and then after he got involved, it was like, wow, I like where he took everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to make an AC/DC sound like butt rock record. I didn't want to do it. There's enough of that stuff. We don't need any more. And it's like, well, I kind of want to hear what it sounds like with really fresh approach.
Absolutely.
And I just went in there, me and him had acoustic demos.
Uh-huh.
And that's all we started with. I didn't know what I wanted to do with anything. And we figured out everything in there.
Yeah.
And it was a really fun way to do it.
Those are they're pretty rocking songs to do on acoustic guitars.
We had acoustic versions and doing the rhythm track. It was me on acoustic with Sarah Tomek, the drummer.
Okay.
And it was just us two, no click track.
Wow.
Sitting in the room and looking, you know, like that. So then everything went on top of that.
Right on. It's a great sounding record for sure.
Thank
the songs, I mean, the songs are fantastic. Like great riffy songs.
I really like how it came out, it's a lot. It sounds like me, so that's what I wanted.
Yeah. So are you playing everything except for drums?
And keyboards.
Oh.
So I'm doing, Sarah Tomek is on drums, Seth Timms on keys. I'm on all guitars, all bass.
Uh-huh.
And most of the vocals, a lot of the high stuff that I couldn't hit is a guy named Philip Creamer.
Okay.
This almost kind of Steve Marriott type voice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this guy in town just crushes.
Yeah.
And he's a friend, and he came in and sang the high stuff that I couldn't hit.
Right on. And did you track it all in like a couple of days, or was it over a long period?
It was like a week.
Okay.
Oh, wow. It was in a week, including mixing.
Yeah.
So it was pretty quick.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to tour behind the record or the EP?
I'm doing Sweden. I'm leaving for Sweden Thursday and all through March, because it's a Swedish label that's putting it out.
Okay.
And so I'm going there and got a Swedish band of assassins.
Wow.
Nika Andersson from Entombed and Helicopters. Mats Lidström from A Million Things. And Jesper Lindgren, a buddy of mine from a group called Velvet Insane. They're all available. They're super busy, and they're all available, so they're my band.
Right on.
Super excited to get those guys, and it's, I think, 10 shows in Sweden and one in Norway.
Okay. Fantastic. And and apart from the record label, do you have, like, a connection to Sweden?
I've got so many friends there over the years, and it just, I don't know, it started, it wasn't on purpose. It just kind of happened. You know, a lot of years ago, I went there for the first time and ended up sharing the room, my hotel room, with the drummer on the gig that I was in.
Okay.
Pontus Snibb. He's a great musician. So he and I became fast friends immediately.
All right.
And it just grew from there. I started just meeting people and doing different projects over there. And it just ended up like, I've got all this stuff happening in Sweden now.
Yeah.
And just fine with me. I love going there.
What's Sweden like in February?
It's cold, and it's dark, and it's rainy. Snow might happen the day I land.
Okay.
But that's kind of business as usual.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny, Nashville just kind of hit with a ice storm 2 weeks ago. It's in the 70s today.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's just always up and down here, but it's, you know what you're going to get in Sweden.
And you moved to Nashville when?
2004.
Okay. And what brought you to Nashville?
It was my last ditch at music.
Oh.
Like my last thing. All right, I guess I'll go there. And I only lived 2 hours south in North Alabama. So it wasn't really a far drive. I was driving back and forth for a couple of years doing some things.
Uh-huh.
I had more to do and more reason to be here than I did at my home in Alabama. So March of 2004, I moved up.
Okay.
For almost 22 years.
Yeah, yeah. Were you playing in bands in Alabama?
Yeah, yeah.
Like in high school and stuff?
Doing things in high school and through college, and then didn't finish college, but post-college when I stopped going to college. I was in a couple of bands that were coming up here to play. It was a place called the Exit Inn.
Sure, of course. And,
so that was my first introduction to Nashville, and sort of meeting people up here.
Uh-huh.
And it just made sense that it's like, well, that's where music happens. So I guess I'll go there and give it one more shot.
And the bands that you were in Alabama, were they successful for the most part?
No, we never really had kind of a story where it's like, we almost got a deal. It's like nothing ever really even came close.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of playing with I was playing with the guys I played from high school in different incarnations.
Sure.
But it was those guys.
Yeah.
And it became a thing where it's just like, stay here and do this, or I can go there and really make a go for it.
Yeah.
I didn't really know. I knew a couple people up here, but wasn't really coming up to like, oh yeah, man, we got work for you. It wasn't anything like that.
Yeah.
It was just like, and I didn't know anything about anything.
Sure.
When I moved up, I was greener than grass. I was lucky to, get into some groups that were, professional and learned the ropes pretty quick.
And that was that your goal to like play live, or were you thinking of you're going to be a session guy?
The session guy, I had no idea what I was going to do.
Okay.
I was like, and at that point, it was still like, I'm going to be in a rock band.
Yeah.
Because rock bands still meant something.
Oh, yeah, of course.
In the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And I was open-minded enough though to not shut down stuff that I got the opportunities. And I got a opportunity to audition for a country singer, David Lee Murphy.
Okay, of course.
Who had some really, really big hits early on and was still doing some shows, but doing more writing.
Uh-huh.
But they luckily were looking for like a long-haired, my hair was like down to here,
okay.
And you know, long-haired bell-bottom dude that played Les Pauls at his knees.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I did. And they liked it. And
yeah.
So I got hired for that. And country guys and country artists were looking for that kind of gunslinger, Skinner type thing, which is my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was able to get work doing country gigs,
yeah.
You know, by playing Southern rock.
Yeah. And who were your guys growing up when you were growing up, who were you listening to?
Joe Perry, Aerosmith was the first. I was like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Like I thought he was just the coolest.
Of course.
And then they got into the Beatles, George Harrison, and then a few short years after that was Eddie Van Halen.
Oh, of course.
And that was ripped my head off. But I couldn't play any of it. And I couldn't figure out what he was doing. And then the first guy that made everything make sense was Ace Frehley.
Oh, okay.
When I heard Kiss, everything clicked. It was like, that's what I'm learning in guitar lessons. And could actually make sense of a solo that I heard on record, which is a huge deal when you're just starting out. When
you realize
that, whoa, this is all humans.
Yeah.
You know, that I can do this. And that was a huge deal for me. Was Ace. Absolutely massive.
Yeah.
But Angus Young,
yeah.
Page, Tony Iommi's a massive one.
Yeah.
You know, Billy Gibbons, of course, growing up in Alabama, the Skinner guys were huge. So, yeah.
And who, did you see anybody? Were you able to see any of those guys early on?
Actually, I got introduced to the Skinner band when I moved to Nashville because my future ex-wife, her mother was as backup singer for Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, right on.
Still is and was at that point. And so that was who I got introduced to early on, where I learned, oh, wow, that's how a professional outfit works.
Yeah.
You know, that was a really good thing to see.
Sure.
And amazing to be around because Gary was still living.
Yeah.
Billy Powell was still living.
Yeah.
So I was able to be around those guys and Ricky.
Yeah.
All those dudes were huge to be like that up close and to get to know them.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, I'm not saying best friends, but like just to be around them.
Yeah, of course.
They know who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was wild. You know?
Yeah. Right on. And what were you playing when you're a kid? What was your first guitar or early guitars?
I wish I had a picture of my first guitar. It was this weird Epiphone.
Uh-huh.
And it was a hollow body, but it wasn't like a Casino or a Sheridan. There are no photos of this thing.
Oh, wow.
And I've never seen another one since. I wish that I had it because I've never seen, I don't know what the hell it was.
Yeah.
But then after that, I got kind of into, you know, this was like, you know, post Van Halen time. So I kind of wanted a bar and things like that. So I got it was a metallic purple Series 10. Was the next guitar that I had after that. And then I lost my dad in September, and he got me an Ibanez.
Oh, right on.
And there was one hanging in the guitar store where I took guitar lessons. And that was like it. Like it was a RG550.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of a pinkish color, but not bright pink. It was kind of smoky pink, I think is what it was.
Like shell pink.
And that was, I knew I was going to do this if I mentioned this guitar. But yeah, so he got me that. I still got it, of course. That's going to stay forever.
Yeah.
And I think my first Gibson was, my first like cool, like, you know, guitar like that was a Gibson SG that I still have over there.
Uh-huh.
Why are
you so emotional about the Ibanez?
Oh, I lost my dad in September.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And I knew that, like, when I think about that guitar, and just the fashion in which I received that guitar, which I won't go into, but it was a kind of a cool deal that was really special. And so it was very cool of my dad to do it how he did it.
All
and
right.
So yeah, still got that guitar. I'll never get rid of that one.
Okay,
you know,
cool.
That's a special one.
Yeah. And what about amps back then?
Crate.
Uh-huh.
Was what I had.
Yeah.
I think I went from a small crate uh-huh. to a larger crate combo
yeah.
amp.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think when I got my first Marshall head. It was a JCM 2000. I think I might have got it around the same time. Like the late, those were around in the late 90s, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I think I got it in the late 90s around the same time as I got that Gibson SG.
Okay.
So I think it was around the same time, but I had that amp too.
Yeah. And so you come up to Nashville and you're playing around and with David, is it David?
David Lee Murphy.
Yeah. David Lee Murphy. And like, how does the whole rock and roll residency thing get started?
That was 10 years later.
Okay.
And over the years, Jeremy Asbrock and I had done all these cover shows together. Like we would do, you know, the metal night. We'd do an Aerosmith night where we did Rocks and Toys back to back. We'd do a Maiden thing. We did a Thin Lizzy thing. So we had all these things.
Uh-huh.
And it was Jeremy's idea. It's like, why don't we throw everything together in a night and we'll do a residency for like a month. And, you know, so, and it was already like, we'll get some of the people like John Karabi, Dave Johnson, people that we know in town, Rachel Bolan, these
Robin
guys that
Zander.
We know, Mark Slaughter, all these guys that are here, that are living in town that we know that are friends of ours now.
Yeah.
We'll get them to come out and play some songs with us. I'm like, that's a great idea. So the original idea was, April of 2014 was just due at that 1 month.
Yeah.
And it just kept getting bigger and bigger. It's like, well, let's just go through the summer and keep it going.
Yeah.
And then Chuck Garrick was the bass player, Chuck from Alice Cooper and Lucio Blanco. So Chuck then was like, I'm going to get Alice to come.
Oh, wow.
But, all right, dude. If you can do it, do it. So he did, and the whole Alice Cooper band came.
Oh, wow.
And they were in town with Motley. They were opening the Motley Crue show.
Okay.
And then so after they were done, everybody came over to this little bar on Music Row.
Yeah.
You know, in town. It was an Irish pub. It wasn't even a venue. It was a patio with a PA on sticks.
Wow.
And there's Alice.
Yeah.
And so that's when it really kind of launched was that.
Uh-huh.
And we had all kinds of people there. We had Deep Purple in there. Gene Simmons came.
Sure.
And we had Robin Zander and like all these, you know, Derek St. Holmes.
Yes.
Lizzie and Joe from Hailstorm.
Yeah.
You know, the list goes on and on. It was just amazing.
Yeah. And it was Babe Buell that was putting the videos up on the social.
Yeah, and BB Buell was there.
BB Buell,
So she started showing up because she was just like, this is like old New York. This is so cool.
Yeah.
And we're like, you want to sing something? And then people would just come because it was the thing to do.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, who's here? Oh, we got to get them involved. You know, it was like that. Everybody was just so cool. And it was such a special time. And it was at the right, it was one of those things where it just happened at just the right time and the right people were all there. It was just so much fun.
Yeah.
Such a good time.
Exactly. And is it a hiatus or are you guys done with it?
We do. It's more the rock and roll occasional performance now than a residency because we couldn't get one this year.
Yeah.
We tried to get one in the spring but I'm kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
So we're all just pretty much, you know, whenever we can do one and this, we know in advance and it's like, okay, let's do one.
Yeah.
It's pretty tough with everybody's schedules.
Yeah.
Everybody's
I can only imagine.
Doing a million things.
Yeah. And is that what led to you playing with Accept and with Ace Frehley?
With Accept, it kind of is because my buddy Christopher Williams, who's the Accept drummer, got that gig kind of through the residency because Peter Baltus started coming to the residency, Accept bass player at the time.
Uh-huh.
So we all got to know Peter, and then they were looking for a drummer, and it's like, who's the best metal drummer in Nashville? He's right over there.
Yeah.
And so they become, and so that's kind of how that happened. It had nothing to do with Gene and Ace.
Okay.
That was all through Ryan Cook, who I was friends with before the residency started, and he became a vital part of that.
Uh-huh.
And especially when we took it on the road and did cruises, Ryan was the fifth member.
Okay.
you know, lead singer, guitar player. We could do way more tunes with Ryan. Yeah. So the Gene Simmons band came from Ryan, and then Ace pretty much came from Gene.
Okay.
So
Ace saw Gene's band and said, I want those guys?
We played with him.
Okay.
We did a tour of Australia with Gene and Ace.
Okay.
Ace was the person. Gene was like, this is going to be a good tour. And we were already Gene's band.
Yeah.
And then Ace had seen us with Gene and knew we could play and sing well and knew all the catalog. And instead of flying his guys and all the costs for that hotel, he said, can I use, you know, do you mind if I use your guys instead of my guys? And Gene's like, if it's okay with them, it's okay with me. So that was how that worked. And then that tour went so well that Ace wanted us to continue on with him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And did you get to record with either of those guys?
Ace.
Okay.
We're on Origins Volume 2.
Okay.
And we got to do She.
Oh, right on.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
I'd forgotten that happened. And then a day after Ace passed, it clicked in my mind that we're on a record with him.
Yeah.
And we're playing She.
Yeah.
And I sent it to the guys, and it's me, Ryan, and Jeremy, and Paul Simmons on drums.
Okay.
And I found it on YouTube and sent it to them, and like, how fucking cool is it that we got to do this with him?
Oh, yeah.
It was just really, it kind of slipped my mind, oddly enough. And it's like, wait a minute, we got to do this with him too. And it was a cool moment.
Did those guys break their stereotypes, and were they nice and sweet when you were playing with them?
It was great. Ace is Ace.
Yeah.
Everything you kind of heard is true. He's from another planet. He's super cool and he's funny, but he's like, he's Ace.
Yeah.
And Gene, I didn't know what to expect. Gene was the absolute best.
Okay.
Super easy to hang with. Super great to be in conversation. We were with him all the time.
Yeah.
We didn't have a crew with him. We didn't have a crew with us, so it was the five of us. Wherever we were going, eating together, traveling together. So we were with him a lot.
Yeah.
We were with him a lot more than we were with Ace. Ace kind of had his own travel plans, but with Gene, it was just, he was one of the guys in the band.
Yeah. Right on.
It was killer.
So now you got your solo thing. You're still playing with Accept. Are you doing anything else besides that stuff? Are you doing session work or anything?
I do any sessions I get called for, which is not many. Okay. But I do, like, whenever I get called, if I can do them, it's like, yeah, man, of course.
Yeah.
So yeah, the calls, it's like a whole other world. Like, there's a live world.
Yeah.
And then there's a session world, you know, sure. And rarely do the two ever combine, but the people that do the session stuff and make those records are just like on another level of playing than I am.
Yeah.
Like, to be totally honest, like, that's a whole, when you're sitting in on those sessions and they're doing a master session, like they're playing it in record, and you're just like, you're watching a record happen.
Yeah.
And it already sounds like the album.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, this is out of my league, man. This is a special thing to be able to do.
Oh, of course. You know? Do you get called to play with Gene still?
No, Gene's doing stuff. I think he's doing shows this year. But in the past couple of years, he was using Brent Woods, Brian Tichy, for those guys.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I would. Yeah. If I'm available and he calls, I'd love to do a show with him. Yeah. He's great.
Are there other people that call you to come out and play?
Not on a bigger scale, because when you start getting busier, your phone doesn't ring as much. So you kind of got to be like, okay, I'm home these weeks.
Yeah.
You know, what are you gonna do? There's a Beatles thing that I do in town.
Okay.
We don't do the wigs or the accents. So we just play songs real well.
Yeah, thanks.
And then there's a McCartney. That band also does a McCartney thing with the guy, with the bass player, where he does put a wig on.
Okay.
And it's more of a McCartney solo show. So those are a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing an Ace tribute show coming up in April.
Okay.
And we're doing some traveling shows with that too. I think I'm missing some of them. Some of them are while I'm still in Sweden.
Okay.
But then we're going to do some this fall and summer as well. So.
Okay. Are you coming out to the West Coast?
Nothing planned.
Okay.
We'd love to.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah. I'm in Napa, California, so north of San Francisco.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Love that place.
Yeah. That's all right. It's a tourist town.
It is.
Yeah. I've been there. Much like Nashville. Well, yeah. Much oh, like yeah. Lower Broadway.
Yes. Except not as annoying, maybe.
It can be
is
annoying.
Is it as annoying?
It could be annoying.
Probably to you, yes. To me, no. Yeah.
You're not going to be playing to tourists in hotels that look like they won a game show.
Right, exactly. You win a trip to Napa. And
yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They must have won the Price is Right or something. Let's talk gear. What do you have? What are you using? Like, if you're going to go out with Accept, what are you using?
All Wolf stuff. I use his signature Framus Flying V.
Okay.
I've got a couple of those. And
both white?
I got a white one and a silver one.
Okay.
And then those are there.
Okay.
I think. And then here, there's an older white one and one that kind of looks like fiber optics.
Oh, wow.
I call it Tron.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I've named that one. That's what kind of think of what I kind of think it looks like.
Sure.
It's all Framus Vs and Kemper.
Okay.
With Accept, yeah.
Yeah. And how's the stage volume? Is it like non-existent?
We actually have a cab apiece now.
Okay.
Which we introduced a tour or two ago, uh-huh. which I like.
Yeah.
And we always did kind of have stage volume because Mark, our singer, doesn't use in-ears.
Okay.
So he's got wedges and side fills.
Are you using in-ears? So
I use in-ears, yeah.
And how's your hearing?
I keep my pack really, really low.
Okay.
I like it really low. I don't like it loud.
Okay.
Now, and because now with all the stage volume that we have, because the side fills are pretty cranked.
Yeah.
And now with the cabinet behind us, and the cabinet is at a substantial volume.
Okay.
I kind of have that. So really all I need to hear is the click and some intro stuff. Yeah. And that's all I need to really hear. So I like to keep mine really quiet.
Yeah.
I've still got amazingly good hearing for a 50-year-old guitar player, actually. So.
And what about your solo? When you're going to do this solo tour, what are you going to use?
Orange backline.
Okay.
And I just got this Saturday. Check this out.
Okay.
So I went into Guitar Center for patch cables.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Wow, that's slick.
I walk out with a custom.
Yeah, Les Paul custom. Is it a new one or what is it?
It's a 2021, but it's a 68.
Yeah.
Reissue.
Sure, sure.
And there's one of this is one of 12.
Okay.
That were spec'd like Brian Robertson's.
Oh, right on.
With Thin Lizzy. So yeah, it's of like course. His 68.
Yeah.
And so it's got the tuners.
Yeah.
Like his.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I didn't expect to walk out with a Les with a guitar, let alone a custom. But
yeah, what's your relationship with Gibson? Like, do you have a relationship with Cesar or Mark?
No, no, none of the new guys. Years ago, I'd had a really good relationship with them, and like you know, pre 2010, like
okay.
like around there, had a great relationship with those guys.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, this one was just. Yeah. Bought by me because it's kind of my dream guitar was an Ebony custom.
Yeah, you're too young to have seen Thin Lizzy. Did you see him?
I did not. I did get to see Scott Gorham with Black Star Riders.
Okay, all right.
And that was as close as I'm going to get. And it was the very first Black Star Riders tour, so their set list was Black Star Lizzy, Black Star Lizzy, Black Star Lizzy, Black Star Lizzy.
Right on.
And it was fantastic. Oh,
of course, yeah.
And Damon's a friend of mine. Oh, I know cool. Damon. Oh, Damon's great.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, getting to see Scott. I never thought I'd get to see Scott grow and play guitar.
Yeah.
So getting to see that, and that was a really great band.
Yeah.
And getting to see him play those tunes. And I had, again, I kind of had really long hair at the time, and we kept on making eye contact. I think he was kind of looking at himself.
Uh-huh.
We locked in a lot during that show, and it was like, this is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it was really cool. So, very glad I got to see that time of the band. But, yeah, so I have a Hagstrom in Sweden that I've never even laid eyes on.
Okay.
So, I'm playing that guitar, but as of Saturday, I'm bringing this guy with me.
Right on. And do you go to NAMM? Like, are you bothered with that?
I've never been to the LA NAMM.
Okay.
I've never been to the Anaheim one.
Yeah.
I think I went to the Nashville one twice.
Uh-huh.
And I was either, because that one was during the summer. I don't even know if they still have it anymore, but they always have it in the summer.
Yeah.
I was always going anyway.
Yeah. 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 I don't think they've had it since COVID.
I don't think so either. Yeah. So I went to a couple times and never made the Anaheim one. And I'm like, I don't really have any business going. I don't, you know, so I'm like, okay, they missed the ice storm this year. That was NAMM weekend.
Oh yeah, exactly.
The ice storm was this year. Yeah.
Yeah. What about, so those are your guitars and your amps that you're going to use on your solo tour, but what about at home? What do you got? Do you got anything?
I've got one of those little 20 watt Marshalls, the JTM 45.
Yes, of course.
I've got that one with the matching cabinet, and that is absolutely just the greatest rig.
Yeah.
I love that thing. All of those are good. The whole series they put out are so great.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite get enough, because I live in an apartment, so there's no cranking anything here. but I couldn't quite, when I was demoing things, I'm like, I want something small, and I've never had a combo that really sounded like me. I'm like, all right, so I got to get a 212.
Yeah.
And I played all those, and I couldn't quite get enough low end out of any of them except the JTM 45.
Okay.
And it's just, it's all bottom end.
Yeah.
And I love that rig. It's such a great, amp.
Cool. Yeah. And what about acoustic guitars?
I've got a Hummingbird.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a really cheap 12 string that I really like. And then I've also got a Tanglewood. I love 3/4 scale acoustics.
Okay.
So I've got a Tanglewood 3/4 scale that I take to, like, when I go write or something, I'll grab that, or, you know, throw it in the car. It's super small and super easy to travel with.
Yes.
Cool. I guess my next big purchase will be like the acoustic. Cause I've never had cause I just bought the electric.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, I need to get the acoustic one that, sure, like, it makes me want to sit down and play and write and play things.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. And so you went to GC. Do you go to Carter's or Groon's or stuff like that?
No. I've got my good friend, Tony Higby, works in Guitar Center.
Okay.
And so kind of what I need, and I'm not really a gear purchaser person. I don't really buy a lot of stuff.
Okay.
And, so I went in to get some patch cables, and of course I went in to say hello to Tony, and this thing's hanging on and he works in the platinum room.
Okay.
So he's in charge of all of the really nice stuff that comes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this guitar was actually priced like it was the lowest thing on that wall.
Oh, right on.
I'm like, what's up with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's my speed. And he was like, oh man. He's like, I actually spec'd that for Gibson.
Oh,
so
right,
he's
on.
The one that spec'd it out as Brian's. So I'm like, well, I got to try it now. And I sat down, a mistake, and it was like, all right, this is fine. I did that. Can I afford it math? And I'm like, yeah, I can afford it.
Yeah.
And, so here it is.
And how are you doing financially? Like, does it accept pay your bills?
Yeah, except everything else I does everything else I do.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm a pro guitar player.
Right.
So, amazingly enough,
hey, I didn't doubt that for a heartbeat, but I was just curious.
Somehow I'm still sitting here in an apartment with the power on and the water runs and.
Yeah. Are you married?
I'm extremely single.
Okay, good for you.
So, which is probably why everything's working. But yeah, no kids, no wife, or, and, you know, I've got an ex-wife, but nothing. You know, it's not like one of those things.
Yeah.
But, it's amazing. Amazingly enough, yeah, I'm still alive and kicking.
Right on. Congratulations.
Which is nuts.
What do you do for fun? What do you like outside of music? What are you doing?
I live downtown, but I don't like hit Broadway a lot, but I love riding my bike downtown.
Okay.
And I'm not like a cyclist, and I don't put on all the gear and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've got like a, you know, an old Schwinn bike that it's a beater, but I love riding it around.
Yeah.
And when the weather gets nice like this, you know, I'll be outside kind of, you know, cruising around and doing that. Yeah. So
do you go back home to Alabama or not so much?
Yeah, I go back to see mom. Mom's still there.
Cool.
And so, yeah, I go back when I can and hang with her, and I'll be gone for a couple months coming up, but I'll be back and, you know, visiting with her and checking on her.
Yeah. Are you going to tour your solo stuff here in the U.S. too?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't really want to. It's just so hard.
Yeah, and expensive.
And because my band is so Swedish, and everything seems to be just falling into place over there.
Yeah.
And everything with the record, everything fell into place.
Yeah.
And I was just going to record it. I recorded it for me.
Yeah.
I was just going to record it and put it out on streaming by myself if nothing happened. But now it's like, a Swedish label's putting it out. They're printing out records. There's going to be hard copies.
Right on.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm already way further along than I thought. So I'm just going to let things happen.
Yeah. So there's five songs on the EP. What else are you going to play?
There's five tunes. There's a tour 7-inch that features the Swedish band.
Oh, okay.
And there's one original tune on that one that isn't on the EP, and I'm Only Sleeping, the Beatles tune.
Yeah, yeah.
B-side.
Okay.
So I've got those, and I've got some more covers, and I've also got some more originals that I've written.
Okay.
Because we had to fill up some time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got some more of that stuff. So yeah, just a mix match. And you know, and there's the records, the recorded versions of the songs are pretty to the point. But there's room for stretching out on some of those, and we're all gonna play, and
right,
there's room to breathe and solo, and because there's no guitar solos on the record.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's space.
Yeah.
So we're gonna expand and do all those kind of things. So
absolutely.
None of these things have ever been played live before.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be the first time for everything. So
yeah. Well, they all sound like live songs, like songs that will be easy to
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be cool. It'll be some I know a couple have to be a little bit approached a little bit differently, but I'm really excited to figuring everything out.
Yeah.
You know.
Right on. Well, Philip, it's been really nice talking to you. I appreciate your time.
Hey, James, thanks so much for having me.
Fantastic. I hope you get out to the West Coast, because I'd love to meet you in person. Cool. Right.
Awesome.
On.
Good to meet you, James.
Nice to meet you as well. Have a great afternoon.
All right, buddy. You too.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.